looks like goddamn Mario Kart.
Checkered everything.
There's nothing on that car.
It's a hang.
Daddy's home.
What the shit, race control?
Right, one more car and I'm taking it out of your ass.
I'm gonna take this track and make it my bitch.
Did you know that races are won and lost in the pits?
I did not know that.
Did you not?
The IMS is the best there ever was.
Daddy doesn't do road cars.
Daddy only does ovals.
We certainly don't take ourselves that seriously, so you shouldn't.
Welcome to Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly.
Okay, season 2, episode 20. Let's get into it.
Let's warm up them tires.
All right, so we're going to talk about some news.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. It's not even
noon. It's not even noon. We're going to hold on Le Mans because it's 10:30 right now on a Saturday morning, and they've only been going for about 2 hours, so.
Yeah.
They got a long road ahead.
They got a lot more racing to do.
They do. We have our Woman of the Week, Layla Sadie. We're going to talk about some heat in Indy for our shit we didn't make up. And then it's time to talk about the next race.
Road America.
Road America. All right. There we go.
So in news, so after Texas, Alexander Rossi was calling for a conversation about lapped traffic.
I think one of his big things is that if you're on the lead lap and you're battling for position and then, you know, people start to get past, then now you've got an extra obstacle in front of you.
You do. And I understand his concern, but, like, what are they going to do?
It's exactly what I wrote. How?
Yeah.
Question mark?
I mean, don't come to me with a problem unless you have a solution.
Consequences? ?
Yeah. Like, what? Because...
Do you want them to retire and just, sorry, you're not on the lead lap, park it?
And then they lose out on points and money and
you
all
will
that
lose...
kind of business?
All sorts of people and teams.
Yeah, there's no fair way to do that. And secondly, lapped traffic has never not been a thing in IndyCar racing. Newer fans are used to the fact that, you know, most of the cars are on the same lap. I mean, even at the, well, or, you know, they're close. I mean, they're close on the same lap. But, you know, that there's not people that are, like, 20 laps off the pace. And even in the Indy 500. But, like, that didn't used to be the case. There have been Indy 500s where the second-place finisher was 2 laps behind the winner.
Yeah. I think it's a part of the sport. Sorry, I'm moving stuff around.
And it's also a part of your strategy and your maneuvering and your skill as a driver is to get around the lap traffic. Because everybody has to do it. It's not like they're just seeking out Alexander Rossi. Everybody else had to get the fuck around the lap traffic.
Exactly. And I know it's frustrating, but it's strategery.
It's strategery.
And, like, I also wrote, lapped how? Like, they're just slow? Or did they have a bad pit stop like somebody had in Phoenix and was actually a lapped? And now he got that all the way back, but he was a lapped. Lapped traffic? I don't like to use that. He was laps down. There you go.
Yes. So, but yeah, he was lapped traffic for a little bit until he caught his way back up. And on your shorter tracks, you're going to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
On our short ovals, like, you're going to see that in Iowa.
I was going to say, Iowa is coming up.
Because you just, the distance of that race, it's strictly science. If train A leaves a station going 55 miles an hour, and train B's traveling, yeah, those math questions that nobody liked that I secretly fucking loved and still do.
Guess what, kids? It has a real life application.
Yeah, you've been scienced. You've been scienced. If you are just a couple miles an hour slower than the first person, it's going to catch up. You're going to catch up to those people, even if they are well within the legal 105% rule.
I will say, and we actually talked about this post-Texas last year. There comes a point, though, when as a lapped traffic driver, my mouth does not like that term.
Okay.
You have to... Like, if you're trying to battle to get on the lead lap, battle away, because you're trying to get back on that lead lap.
Absolutely.
3 to 5 laps down, that's where it comes back to that whole discussion of the gentleman's sport, things like that. If you recall Mid-Ohio, but their crew chief came over the radio and was like...
And they were like, if you can get around him, do it.
But don't
fuck up his race.
I don't think he said the word. Fuck up his
no,
race.
No, but he said...
Basically.
I think he said don't mess up his race. Yeah. Don't ruin his race. But yeah, it's because Newgarden was out in front, and it was like, you know, because they were like, I can get around him, this and that. They're like, if you have a clean shot, go. But
do it.
But don't mess up his race.
And I think that's what needs to happen.
And again, I mean, there are some things that I think, like, no, it is competitive. Mm-hmm. But that's one of those parts where it's, I do think that it is a gentleman's sport. And that if you're not in contention for podium, for top 10, you're laps down. Multiple laps down. And there's not that many laps left in the race. And somebody who is in contention for podium, top 5, top 10, is behind you. The polite thing to do is to let them pass you because you're not going to catch them anyway.
Would you? It's like sitting in the left. Like.
I mean, I would compare it to that 100%. If you were in the left lane, I don't care how fucking fast you're going. If you are not faster than the traffic behind you, then get the fuck over.
Just pull over, let them pass, come back, still race.
Yeah.
But don't fuck up their race. Really, that's how it is. If you're a lap down, don't fuck it up. And he kind of alluded to it probably needs to just be more of a discussion between the drivers.
And that's what he said. He said, it's probably a conversation we need to have in the off season. He's not trying to, make any changes right now. But, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, I think that is a conversation. Maybe the conversation just needs to be like, hey, guys, don't forget that we live in a goddamn civilization.
Yeah. Put your carts away and let people pass you if they are actively racing on the lead lap. And I'd say, on your longer ovals, more than 5 laps. On your shorter ovals, yeah, if you're 3 laps down, unless you're racing faster than the lead cars, you probably won't get some of those laps back.
No.
Especially at Iowa, which is a couple of weeks away.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, you're all professionals.
Yeah.
You know how fast your car is or isn't, and you know whether or not you can reasonably expect to gain laps back. So don't act like you're just going out there trying shit and you don't know. You know what you're capable of, okay?
The guy near your
I knew what I was fucking capable of.
Yeah.
I knew what my times were. I knew there was a chance that in a better pool with, fiercer competition around me that I could shave some time off. But the thing is, I wasn't going to shave 20 seconds off.
Yeah.
We're talking a half second, a second maybe if I'm lucky. You know about what you're going to run. You're a professional. This is what you do all day, every day.
Yeah.
So you know whether or not you get those laps back.
And if you don't, the person in your ear does. And so maybe that, I think, I agree. I think it's a discussion in the off season, more of a, all right, guys, we're going to agree. Here's what we're going to do. And I think the term from Mid-Ohio is great. If you have a chance, go for it. But if you are going to fuck somebody up who's on the lead lap and you're more than 5 laps down, maybe, pull it on over.
Yeah.
Not park it. Pull it on over. Let them go by. Swing it back in.
And I feel like, for the most part, IndyCar is really good about blue flagging.
That is true. But that's just slower. I think the problem is they are actively trying to pass people going the same or similar speed. And their laps down. And I see how that can fuck it up. If you're 1 through 3, the leader's gotten by the lap traffic, and now you are coming up on it.
And you can't get by them to even get in contention with the leader. And the leader's got clean air, and they're just driving away.
They're just, going for that Sunday morning drive. I get it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a conversation. Mm-hmm. I think it could happen. Everybody has to buy in on it, though.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be interested to see what other drivers have to say about it. Especially the drivers that are typically lapped traffic. I mean, I would be interested to hear their point of view on it. If they think, those guys, that's part of it. I'm going to race as hard as I can because that's how it goes. And that might be their point of view.
I understand that point of view.
I do.
And I think that's why if you're only a couple of laps down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fight.
But if you're
more than a few laps down.
If you're past the point of no return.
Maybe we should reevaluate. Don't be a dick. Don't be a dick. There you go.
Don't be a dick. I mean, that's
the life motto for this podcast. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah. Don't be a dick.
There it is.
The spec package for 2019 won't be, quote unquote, revealed. Till at least August.
I really like to use quotes.
Oh, I know that about you.
It's a lot of fun for me.
I enjoy when you voice message me and I can hear that you're doing air quotes. Even though I can't see you, I can hear in your voice that you're happening. Quoting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I used to do this a lot in closing arguments. And you really can't do the hand motion. But you could put that inflection in your voice. So what they mean by spec package is that this is the parts of the car and different things that they will or will not as a team be able to alter. And there's been some talks. I know one of them was like the shock package.
Yes.
Like teams are kind of looking at shocks and whatnot. This is also happening in tandem with like Dallara probably might make some tweaks to the overall mm-hmm. chassis for next season. And one of the things that happened already was like the rear wing on the speedways that's smaller than what it was originally intended to do. Yeah. So Dallara kind of came in and changed it. But there's nothing there, and they're really waiting until at least August. They also indicated it might be until after the season, because this is a whole new thing. Mm-hmm. They kind of want to let it see every track and then go from there. So not a lot. Threw that on there because during May, I don't even think we talked about it, they had the new engine for like 2021.
Yeah.
It's going to increase about another 100 horsepower, so...
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
It's going to be good. And they're still talking with other engine manufacturers when they were developing that.
Which, you know, I would love.
Oh, I think we all would.
Yeah, I would love to have another engine manufacturer.
I'm straight team Honda, but I know the more engine manufacturers that you have, the more competition you have, the better innovation you're going to get.
Yeah.
And that's what, I think that's great.
That's what we want. I mean, that's what IndyCar stood for years, is innovation in automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Speed, safety, yeah. Tires, I mean...
Everything.
Engine longevity. I mean, think about how many years that the 500, it was expected that your car would probably break down during the 500 because it was so long.
Yeah.
That the cars couldn't handle. I mean, there were people that would be in the pits for a long-ass time fixing their car because it would break down and would get back in the race.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Indy 500 was what Le Mans is now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an endurance race.
So, yeah, like just... out of their conception that you could run a car 500 miles.
They apparently have not road tripped with
that. Yeah. Like, shit.
500 miles without stopping? Shit, we did that apparently twice with a busted fuel pump. That's what kills me. Or no, it was the igniter.
Yeah.
In the ignition.
Yeah.
Fun fact, that's why the car stopped. It didn't start. We'll see. Not a lot out there, but
yeah.
It's probably not going to be until after.
Oh, I'm sure.
After Sonoma.
Yeah, it won't be until the silly season.
Yeah.
Nobody's been thinking about that shit right now. I mean, they're thinking about it, but nobody's making hard plans right now.
No, not at all.
Everything's up in the air, I'm sure.
Speaking of the silly season, so this is an interesting thing that's floating around.
And I have a theory that I have not even spoken to you about, actually.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So you get into this because I've been waiting all week to discuss
this with you. There's an F1 team, Force India. They really need some money. I actually did like a quick dive.
All right.
Just like a basic Google, because apparently the two guys who own it, one guy is or will be going to jail shortly for, like, money issues.
Okay.
And the second guy also is pretty much there, and I think he might have skipped. I don't know, and don't at me, because I don't follow F1, and I just did, like, a quick Google search one day at work.
Shallow dive.
Right, like, murr. So, obviously, this team is hemorrhaging money. I guess the country of India has... lent them, if not, like, billion, maybe? A lot of money. Maybe not a billion.
That seems a little high, but
$1 million.
$1 million.
But a lot of money. They just can't make it up. Also, I don't believe the Force India team as a whole does well at Formula One. So they need somebody to buy them. A team that has been floated around as potentially buying them out is Andretti Autosport. As we all know, at the Canadian GP, Michael was there and not at Texas. And he was there also with Rossi's dad and somebody else. I don't remember the guy's name.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But somebody else with Andretti Autosport or tangentially with Andretti Autosport.
Oh, it was somebody that works with Herta.
Oh, okay. That's why. So,
yeah,
somebody with Herta also. Not Herta himself.
It wasn't
Herta,
but it was somebody with Herta.
Herta adjacent.
Yes. Herta adjacent, exactly. So, yeah. So, they were there.
They were there. That's
so, those are the facts. And so, the rumor is...
Andretti Autosport's going to buy them. There's going to have a whole Formula One team. And Rossi's name's been kicked around because he used to do the ladder series for Formula One. I will say that Andretti Autosport does have a Formula E team.
They do.
So it's not, but again, wild rumors. Although, before you start on your...
Yes.
I want to say this. My favorite part about the Canadian GP is that there's that screenshot, somebody, like, on TV. It's Michael Andretti, and it's Fernando Alonso. And so it's like, Fernando Alonso, F1 driver, blah, blah, blah. Like, the little, like, name they put on the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's like, Michael Andretti, IndyCar world champ, like, whatever year. And I was like, but that's not why he's there. He's not there as the IndyCar world champ. He's there as...
A team owner.
Team owner, Andretti Autosport.
Yeah.
So anyway, what is your theory? I am so excited to hear this.
Okay, so there were lots of theories, which was, you know, obviously a lot of people assume that if Alonso comes to IndyCar that he's going to be on Andretti. That's who he raced for when he did his one-off.
Yeah.
And they just feel like, you know, and so a lot of the initial rumors were, well, Michael's up there to sweeten the pot, sweet talk Alonzo, whatever, maybe do some, you know, some handshaking, some backroom business deals, whatever.
Sorry, you said a hand and I was concerned.
I know. Shaking hands, kissing babies. Not the Mary Ellen treatment.
Oh.
And so anyhow, and then obviously all the rumors about the F1 team, mm-hmm. and somebody said, you know, is anybody else, it was on a Facebook group. Somebody said, is anybody else thinking that Rossi wants to go to F1? And I commented and I said, I don't think he wants to go to F1, .. I go, but I would put money down on the fact that he's thinking of a Triple Crown. Because there's only one person who's ever completed the Triple Crown in motorsport.
Yeah.
We have two drivers currently in contention. Juan Pablo is the closest. He's won Monaco. Mm-hmm. He's won the Indy 500 mm-hmm. twice.
Yeah.
And if he wins Le Mans, he completes Triple Crown.
Yes.
Alonso has won Monaco.
There's a third.
A third person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Alonso has won one of the three. So has Rossi.
Yes.
And if Rossi were to, you know, step out of IndyCar, like, if he could easily do the 24,
mm-hmm.
the Le Mans 24, and not have it interfere with his IndyCar schedule.
Right.
Now he would have to sit out in Indy 500 for Monaco. Yeah. But I mean, it's definitely doable, and I just see him as being that cocky that he wants to be the youngest person in the history ever win the Triple Crown. I mean, there's only one other person who's ever done it, so, but he's a young guy, and I see him as him wanting to just, yeah, go ahead and get that.
Just.
Yeah, put that pen in his cap, like, yep, and you can all, you've all been officially invited to suck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Alexander Rossi. Welcome to Thunderdome, bitch.
I am not mad at that theory. I'm not mad at all.
I mean, I don't know that that is going to have any play into what Andretti's going to do with the Force India or any of that. But yeah. I guarantee that Rossi has had a conversation with somebody about, regardless of what we do, can we talk about getting me into these other two races?
This is great. I'd like to do Le Mans.
I've got goals.
I have on his vision board.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Le Mans.
His vision board.
He's like Oprah. He's going to put it out there in the secret. It's fine.
Speak it into existence.
Let me speak that into existence.
Happens, Rossi. I've spoken a few things into existence during the month of May. mostly just crashes, but.
Well, we both did, unfortunately.
Batted 1,000 in the month of May, actually.
Here's what you don't want to do with this podcast. Piss us off, because they're like, well, what's going to happen? We're going to choose you for our first out. I think both of them crashed.
Yeah.
You definitely got first out.
Yeah, and yours were second.
Yeah.
Both times.
I'm just...
Dangerous game. But yeah, so that's my theory.
For a bunch of witches.
That's my theory, is that Rossi is going to use whatever happens to try and get the Triple Crown as young as he possibly can.
I think that's smart.
And especially since he's on... And this is what really makes me think it, because he's on par to win the championship. I mean, I think you've been saying it for
I've brainwashed you. It's fine.
I mean, I agreed with you.
No, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that this year is definitely Ross's year. I think that he very well could win the championship. And I think if he does, that's going to solidify to him to do Monaco next year, not the 500.
Yeah.
He's already won the 500. He mm-hmm. will have just won the championship. Maybe he'll do the 500. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, you never know.
I mean, you never know. But he might be like, all right, next thing, let me get that. Because it wouldn't surprise me at all for Rossi to come out as a rookie and fucking win Monaco as a goddamn rookie.
On a fuel strategy.
I mean, that's his favorite way to win.
I know. If that happens, I will die of laughter.
I will laugh so hard.
So hard. It's interesting. So I'm going to put on my lawyer cap, which nobody likes, but whatever. Just like purely from a lawyer, like child of a businessman, buying the assets of a team that is sucking gas is so dangerous, though.
It's a dangerous game.
Like, between trying to buy Force India and the rampant rumors that Alonso will be joining IndyCar in 2019, like next year.
Yeah.
Heavy money is on, if not Andretti, an Andretti-adjacent program, like a Herta thing with Fernando and...
McLaren.
No. The kiddo. Who we fucking interviewed, and I'm...
Oh, Colton.
Colton, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you would have two rookies, but you'd have a veteran rookie and a rookie.
Totally.
You know, I would not be surprised to see that. But all of that together,
It's a lot of money, but Alonso brings a lot of sponsorship money.
Alonso does bring a lot of sponsorship money. I'm thinking more of just on a, like, an operational standpoint.
Well, and yeah, who are you going to have run the F1 team? Because Michael can't be everywhere at once.
And F1...
It's a different beast.
It's a different beast. It's heavily ingrained. It's not heavily ingrained, but the schedules between F1 and IndyCar are so intertwined. Like, Formula E is kind of like this fun offshoot, which I appreciate Formula E, because you get a lot of... I mean, they're the ones who were trying the whole... Kind of almost a greener initiative, which I appreciate.
Like the hybrid, yeah.
So it's kind of like it's a... Fun. It's so hot here, I'm sticking to your chair.
I know. So, it's interesting, because the schedules are very intertwined between F1 and IndyCar. So I'd be curious, who would be in charge of that. And, it is a risky move.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, like everything else in our lives. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that they're going to buy Force India. To me, my initial thought was they're there wheeling and dealing because McLaren wants a stake in
IndyCar.
And IndyCar. Mm-hmm. And so Andretti was like, all right, we can partner up, but we want to ride for these races in F1.
Yeah, I think that's something that, I would not be surprised if that
came out. I find that more likely than them buying up Force India.
Yeah,
because the thing is...
You're stretched too thin.
Yeah, I think they're going to be stretched too thin.
They have 4 full-time cars.
Yeah.
In the season. They picked up 2 for the 500, which is not just, I'm going to just pick up 2. Like, it's a full thing, and now you're going to add on a whole... another series, oh my god.
Yeah, that seems like a little much to me.
Plus, you've got Herta coming up. Like, where's Herta gonna go?
Right? You need somebody to partner with for another part of this team.
Yeah.
Like, Meyer Shank Racing does with Jack Harvey with Schmidt-Peterson. You need an offshoot because,
And again, Meyer Shank Racing, I fully expect in the next year or so to break off completely, which is fine. But yeah, you need that first year. There needs to be a little, let me just help you out
Get your feet wet, yeah.
Let me help you out here.
So
we'll see.
Interesting though. All right, and then this, I love this, and I completely agree with Eddie Gossage.
I know.
Texas wants to be after Indy, but of course that weekend belongs to Penske.
Uh-huh. So I am. It'll go out before this goes out, but I actually wrote a whole dick about the schedule. So the issue. Yeah, wait a minute. Let's line up the issue before we start.
Well, I've got a whole list of reasons why I don't give 2 shits about the Belle Isle races.
I think we've talked about it.
It is my least favorite race weekend on the schedule.
Yeah.
And also, I would boycott it for the fact that 3 years ago, and it wasn't during the IndyCar race, it was during the IMSA race, but there was a volunteer firefighter who was a first responder who got hit by another vehicle as he was trying to help a driver that had wrecked. He got hit so hard he was thrown, was in critical condition, punctured his lung, damaged his spleen, almost died, and they came to him in the hospital and they said, don't worry about anything, we'll cover everything, it's not a big deal, and they haven't done shit.
They reneged.
They sent him, a few signed hats and some dummy casts.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's the worst. Like
the driver that hit him came into the hospital, said I'm sorry, and brought him a signed hat and a die cast. And that is all they've gotten. And so they are in the process of suing.
You would wish that I don't even want, don't even bring that to me.
Yeah. And so that to me is just shitty. Now, I know that's separate from IndyCar because IndyCar has their own safety team. But IMSA does not. IMSA and SCCA both rely heavily on area volunteers, local first responders. And so I know there have been boycotts from the firefighters in and around Detroit to not do this. The Firefighters Union fully supports a boycott on this because one of their brothers was injured to the point that he can never be a firefighter again.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they aren't even paying his medical bills.
Oh, God. It's unfortunate.
And so, A, Jesus. I think that's just a shitty way to do business. So I would boycott the whole fucking weekend just for that.
Yeah.
B, I totally feel for the residents there that they can't get into their park until after that race, which is bullshit because the weekend before is Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
One of the bookend holidays of the summer and you can't use your park. I think that's shitty. C, I agree with them that a race in a park is really not good for the wildlife when it's supposed to be a conservatory area. Having a bunch of Indy cars running through, really not a great thing for the local wildlife.
Remember
Did
that
you
squirrel?
See that squirrel?
Yeah, the squirrel.
Yeah, I loved my comment about he was just trying to serve subpoenas.
So
there's all kinds of reasons that I'm not.
We forgot to lay it out. So the Twitter fight that happened, I don't know, maybe it wasn't at one point Marshall Pruitt got into it. Eddie Gossage, who's the track somebody, owner, promoter,
president.
Some sort of higher up for Texas indicated that Texas would be a better race to follow the 500 instead of Detroit. And obviously Roger Penske is like, no.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever said no, but everybody knows the answer is no.
I mean, the look on his face just says, kiss my ass and get fucked.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have to say anything. You just look and go,
you know.
Roger's not on board with this.
You know what the captain thinks.
Yeah.
Which, I get it. That's a big money maker for him.
It is.
But I think that it is better to have an oval right after the Indy 500, because the Indy 500 is still the most watched race.
Mm-hmm.
It has international notoriety. And so if you have a great Indy 500 and people are like, this is awesome, and you're like, there's another great race next weekend and it's another oval, you're going to keep people's attention. Whereas there's a lot of people who watch the Indy 500 who don't really care about road or street courses. I mean, you're more casual fan if they're more of an oval person. They're just not going to track. And so by the time it's been 2 weeks and then Texas comes around, it's like, well, it's summertime. And it's a Saturday night in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is at home on a Saturday night in summertime?
Watching Detroit.
Well, no, I meant Texas. I mean, we watched Saturday. It, but it's like, but yeah, I think that you would have better luck at the very first weekend after Memorial Day, because the thing is, everybody does ship Memorial Day weekend, and you're tired. So the very next weekend, you're probably hanging at home.
Yeah, you just want to chill out.
2 weeks after, it's full on summer.
Right.
It's full on summer.
I get it. Yeah, I've been kind of looking at it, and I can see following a big oval with a road or street course, but it has to be not Detroit.
A really good one.
And actually, in my thought was Mid-Ohio.
It would be a great one.
Because a lot of people go to Mid-Ohio already, so you've got crowds. Mm-hmm. People will be excited to go. And by the way, when this comes out, I'm giving people a week between the race, between the Indy 500 and Mid-Ohio. They need to have that week off.
I agree. I think there needs to be a bye week.
Yeah, in fact, that's exactly it.
Texas stayed where it was at, we just ditched Detroit.
That would
there
work.
There needs to be a bye week because May is so busy. It like is. When they talk about how horrible the winner of the 500 typically does because they're so exhausted. Like, it's almost like you get punished for winning.
You do.
And so I think there should absolutely be a bye week in there.
In fact, in this, there's a bye week.
Especially because you go back to back to back. I mean, it's like just nonstop.
There's a bye week before, which is actually built in. So there's a bye week between Barber and the GP.
Yes.
And I think that should stay that way.
Yep.
And then I think there should be a bye week right after.
Yes.
Like, let's let May happen, give a week, and then either a Texas, or if you want to do a road course to kind of highlight that we also do others, do a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I said Mid-Ohio just because I'm trying to keep things localized, but...
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of people that, you know...
That go to it, things like that.
Yes, but I think Road America would be a good one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Barber's awesome, and this year with the nose camera, you can see all
the elevation
changes.
But I do
But
like,
otherwise, you can't really see it that much on TV.
And I do like Barber as a lead-up, too.
I like it as a lead-up,
because it's a good kind of like, all right, we're heading into May, here's a really good race. It's a very
challenging course.
It's a good course, and they come and do the street or the road course here that's flat, so it's a whole thing.
Yeah, but no, I fully agree with the bye week. So,
yeah.
All right, write it down. Let me see your schedule.
All right, so March 4th, which isn't technically, I said you could do an exhibition race.
Okay.
Like an internet, because they've been talking about international races.
All right.
Somewhere warm, Mexico. I think they could do Mexico March 4th.
Mm-hmm.
March 11th, St. Petersburg, that's the opener. I like it opening, and it's Florida. You can't go anywhere where it's not warm.
Yeah.
Take the 17th off at Sebring. I did a West Coast swing. Long Beach, Phoenix, Texas, back to back to back. And then Barber. So I'm trying to keep them so they're not back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
I mean, I agree with that.
That was one of the things when I wrote this. I was like, you can't just go hog wild. Like, I put constraints. You can't add races. You can't take away races and try and keep things regionally located.
Yeah.
So you start Long Beach, then you come to Phoenix, then you come to Texas. So you have two ovals back to back, then Barber.
Yeah. I think that that's not going to be good for Texas. But
it'll be the 14th.
I think that the best numbers for another oval would be if they were the first race after the Indy 500.
Well, we have multiple ovals after the 500.
But I mean the first race after the 500.
See, I get that, but part of me was like, well, because I wanted to do Mid-Ohio right after.
Yeah.
Because I was like, let's That's switch fair. It up and try a different.
Yeah.
Hey, you love the 500. So,
gotcha. See, I'm 100% in the other boat of you should follow it up with an oval.
I get it. I like the idea of following it with another oval, but I kind of wanted to highlight something.
I mean,
plus, you're not having them go from Indy to Texas. It's Indy, week off, Ohio. Because otherwise, then you've got to ship everything to Texas. You're not getting that full break. They're going to have to pack everything up earlier. to get to Texas.
I mean,
the teams will, not the drivers.
I don't think it is going to change when they pack it up.
I think it will. The transporters won't have to leave as early to get to Texas as they will to Ohio, so you won't have to get everything fixed up in the garages, so your teams get break.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then it's May.
Yep.
May, you can't move May. That was awesome. Like, can't move it. Week off, then it's mid-Ohio. You have to take the week off for Le Mans.
Yep.
And so then I did Road America, so two strong road courses. Toronto, I did Toronto July 8th. Because one of the things I looked at was the setup for street courses and holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Canadians do not celebrate July 4th. I don't know if anybody else knows this. They do not celebrate the 4th of July.
What?
What, Canada? So I was like, fuck it. They can have a July 8th.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we can't use our streets for the 4th of July parade. We don't have a 4th of July parade.
Yeah, they don't do that.
They don't.
They do not, in fact, celebrate they our do not. Independence.
And so then I did Toronto, Ohio, and then I put Detroit at the end of July. Right before the summer break.
I mean, and I think that's a better place for it.
I had it flipped with Ohio, and I kind of went back and forth between Ohio or Detroit as the end or before the summer break.
Yeah, I know logistically Detroit wouldn't work there. Like, Detroit's got to be earlier in the season because they shut down that park.
You can't, I mean, the only other place would be in March.
Which you can't do a race in Michigan in March.
That's the problem. You can't do
which
a race
in... Which is why I think we just should drop the fucking weekend.
But one of the rules was not drop a race, because I felt like that was cheating.
I know, I'm just saying. I'm just poking a few holes in here, because realistically, you can't put Detroit in July.
Well, you can't put Detroit anywhere.
Which is why we shouldn't
have agree, but one of the rules was I can't drop a race.
I know.
Because otherwise, I'd have been like, oh, we just dropping races.
Right, and you're gone. and this guy's gone.
So then I put in a summer break of 2 weeks, because I thought on the 19th, you could do potentially another international race.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Canada on the west side of Canada.
Okay, like Vancouver?
Yeah. Do a nice west side Canada.
Mm-hmm.
If not, give them 3 weeks off in the fucking summer. It's too hot anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe the 19th, do the Canada race. If not, then it's the 25th is Portland and then Sonoma. And then you just kind of, so it's Portland, Sonoma, St. Louis, end at Pocono.
Ooh, okay. Pocono would be a great ender.
I think Pocono is a good ender. I think because the Andretti Autosport, you know, that's where the Andretti family is.
Well, and if they did a Vancouver area race, and then you have Portland the very next week, you're already on the West Coast.
Sonoma.
I said last year that I think that they should bunch them up, like, geographically better. Just
that was one of the rules, was keep it regional.
Yeah, so, and I like ending on the Tricky Triangle.
I do, too. I think it'd be a good race. And I thought, well, you can end at St. Louis, but this one you're almost kind of sweeping through.
Mm-hmm.
And they could, I don't know, somebody...
Well, if we were able to throw Watkins Glen back on there, yeah, you have that out there at the same time. Like,
Watkins Glen also wouldn't be a bad ender.
It would not.
And I if we still had Watkins Glen, I would have thrown Watkins Glen there to end it.
Yeah.
Because I think, because of the history, that's a great place to end.
Oh, absolutely. Now, do you have double points on your schedule or no?
Oh, I didn't even deal with that.
No thoughts?
I know Indy needs to be double points. I don't know about having Sonoma or the ending race at double point.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then why not St. Pete as a double point race, because it's the first race?
Yeah.
Having it as a double point because it's the ending race, eh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just always seems lackluster with Sonoma.
It's gimmicky. It's
gimmicky.
I hate to use that term, like, but it's gimmicky.
Yeah.
This is the last race. We're going to do it double points. Eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I like it. Overall, I like it.
Yeah. Trust me, if I could drop Detroit, I would, but that was my rule.
I know.
I can't drop it.
Care about
I drop
race.
It and replace it with, like, Kentucky or another Oval in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, Kentucky.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
But I couldn't. That was one of my things. Because it's too easy to say, like, I'll just add and drop whatever races I want. That's great, but these are real-life races with real-life contracts.
Which, I'll tell you what, I saw a thread where people were talking about what races, what tracks they wanted to see added back, and this and that, and how somebody was like, I love ovals, we need more ovals, we need to add this and this and this and this and this and this, and then somebody came on and was like, you know what all of you people need to do? Go to the fucking oval races that are already on the schedule.
Thank you.
Like, because you can bitch and moan all you want, and things can change super slowly, or if you actually show up to these existing oval races,
mm-hmm.
and people realize that they can sell a lot of tickets, they're going to add more oval races. Like,
I mean,
that's the quickest way to get it done. And I was like,
thank you. I know one of the reasons...
like, if you're really a fan... fucking buy yourself a ticket and go to a race.
I'd love to go to Texas. The problem with Texas is that it's so... it's not right after May, but it's close enough after May that, like...
We don't have time.
And it's a Saturday race. I don't have PTO.
Yeah.
Iowa, I wouldn't mind. I don't know why we didn't do Iowa this year. I have no idea why we didn't do Iowa this year.
Because it runs on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's just long enough. We'd have to take that Monday off.
Yeah. And I think we just decided it wasn't worth the drive. Because it's not close for us.
It's not close. It's.
I think we just had to make some hard decisions.
Somebody had to be dropped. But, like, we're going to Pocono.
But, yeah, like, in the future, I definitely want to go to Iowa. Probably hot as hell.
I know. I bet they've got good corn on the cob, though.
Well, actually, we did a corn off at this house, a blind taste test of Indiana versus Iowa corn.
Yeah.
Indiana won by a landslide.
Hell yeah.
So.
But I bet they at least douse it in some butter.
Oh, where
they
sure.
just hold it like a baby and dip that bad boy in the butter.
Oh, yeah, in a vat.
Yes.
Just like at the state fair. Yeah,
that's my favorite place.
Yes, just like a 5-gallon drum of melted butter.
God,
and
I love it.
Corn on the cob on a stick. Just
whoop. There you go.
That's my favorite.
God, I love it. All right, let's move on to a quick rundown of other motorsports that happened while we weren't paying attention.
Yep, so NASCAR, it was the Firekeepers race up in Michigan, which if you remember...
We went to that casino!
Sure did.
That's where they had the Lord of the Rings game where, like, I hit a bonus and
you
it just kept
going.
You couldn't
stop getting bonuses. You got...
For 20 minutes.
Yeah, you got, like, 1,000 free spins. It was unreal. I've never in my life seen somebody do that well on that game. And I've thrown so much money away at that game thinking, like, I'm going to get it. And it was,
That's because
it was a sight to behold.
Huge Lord of the Rings. I mean, grew up with Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the game was like, one of us.
I mean, that's why I only play fun slot machine games. Because even if I don't win, I want to have a good time.
Like
that one, even if you don't win, like, it's fun. There's
right?
lots
there's
of
whole
special
thing.
Games. There's all kinds of things going on. Multiple ways to win. But yeah. I love that casino.
Well, which is why when we go to St. Louis, we're going to go to that casino, and hopefully you will help me find the Wheel of Fortune game. I did not find it.
Oh, I will help you find it. Wheel of Fortune calls to me.
I was looking hard.
I was just talking about Wheel of Fortune yesterday, and like I had the shakes, because I've been gambling in so long, I've been trying
to
save money.
August, we can gamble.
I almost stopped at Anderson on my way home. Like, that's how much I talked about slot machines last night, and I was like, and I like opened up my bank account, because I just got paid yesterday, and I was like...
Nope.
And it's like I had a moment where I was like, you can buy things on Amazon that you actually need, or you can go to the casino, but you can't do both.
Well, here's what we will do. We will have to leave on the 23rd, which...
is your birthday.
So we'll just keep on driving and hit the casino.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right. It's literally 2 minutes away from the track.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
so if anybody is at Gateway on the 23rd, we're going to be... I don't remember the name of that casino, but it's the closest casino to the track, and it's right on the river.
Yep. We'll be there.
Yeah. Trying to find the Wheel of Fortune game.
Yep.
Anyway, back to the Firekeepers.
So, Firekeepers, Michigan. So, they had some rain. They had to call the race early.
Clint Bowyer won the truncated race, and, well, if you want to know more about it, check out Our Brothers from Another Mother, the PETM podcast, because I'm sure they talked about it.
I'm sure they did. They're a NASCAR podcast, so...
They're our NASCAR brethren.
They're our special correspondents for NASCAR.
I love it.
Yeah, you can find them at PETM podcast.
Ta-da!
So,
there you go. They talked about it.
All right, NHRA, we had the Virginia Nats.
Oh, snap. Auger making shit happen.
Oh, my gosh. Courtney Force beat her dad in the final, and she won her fourth win this season.
Which is amazing.
It is amazing.
By the way.
And she liked our tweet about it.
I know.
Which made us feel pretty cool.
And she also had, like, a really cool thing about, like, little girls. And I was like, this is amazing.
Oh, she's just awesome.
She is.
I love their whole family.
I want to hang out with the Forrest family.
I do, too.
I'm putting that out there.
I want to group hug all of them, too.
I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah, no, I want to hang out with the
Speak it into
horses.
Existence.
Yeah.
Also, Steve Torrance won the Top Fuel. So that also happened in the race.
Well, let's see. The Canadian GP, most of the news was around the rumors of Michael Andretti being up there.
There was a race.
See, Vettel?
Vettel.
Vettel. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right, for Ferrari.
Yep.
Came in first. Bottas for Mercedes came in second, and Verstappen for Red Bull came in third. More importantly,
there was a little bit of human error, and they waved the checkered flag one lap too early.
Yeah.
So they actually waved it on lap 69, but when that happens, they go back to the prior full lap. And so there was a... what's his last name, like Ricciardo or something, he got stripped of the fastest lap for the race because his fastest lap was 69, but they go back to...
Nice.
Yeah. You go, nice. Nice. You just turn into a frat, bro.
I know. It had to happen. Somebody had
you
to
were
go
like, Quagmire, giggity.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, since they went back to lap 68, 69 didn't count, and so he did not, in fact, win.
We're 12 right now. It's fine. But yeah, so that was interesting.
Yeah, so.
Everybody's off. Actually.
Well, and people are, like, up in arms, and it's this whole thing, and there was an official statement which cracked me up, because the guy was like, you know, we are looking into other things, you know, like maybe we have a big checkered flag on the pylon and it doesn't count until you see it electronically go across. And he's like, but then it's still like a human has to program it and whatever, blah, 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 and all this. And it's happened a few times that like checkered flags have been waved early. That's why they have a protocol for how they score the race afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's happened before. Basically, at the end of it, he was like, it's arguably a waste of time and energy to think about this when it's a mistake that rarely happens.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for calling a spade
like, thank you. Like, it happens.
Like, everybody, calm keep down. Your shirts on.
Calm down.
It rarely happens. We fucked up. No biggie. It was not, like, it was not the celebrity's fault. It was a miscommunication.
Yeah.
Because the flag guy came over and said, last lap, and he meant it as a question. Yeah. And the other people thought he was saying it as a statement. And they thought he meant, like, this next one is the last lap. And he meant, are we on the last lap?
Which,
and so
maybe he should have known.
Well, but it depends on, like, how you...
Where he's sitting and what he's looking at. But anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, do you start counting at zero or at one? You know, it's like, you don't complete 69 laps and then you're done. Like, you have to do the 70th lap.
Sure. But so, still, it's just human
so
it's error. Like,
yeah. And so it was just a little miscommunication. And so he said last lap and they said last lap.
Yeah. And it...
And he was like, all right, wave the flag.
And they went. So...
So, yeah.
It happens. I mean, it's fine.
It does. But yeah, I love that he was like, arguably a waste of time.
Yeah,
considering
like... It,
I was like, thank you for just flat out calling everybody out.
I mean, it's if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If it happens, it happens. Like,
yeah, we don't need to create new technology for something that rarely happens.
So. It's time for our Woman of the Week, and I am very inspired by this Woman of the Week. It's Layla Sadie. I'm probably 100% mispronouncing that because I am from the Midwest, and that's what we do here.
Yep.
But she's an Iranian race car driver.
Oh.
And what's interesting is given kind of, you know, the religious dictations in that area, she actually had to receive permission from a local Ayatollah. And since racing's really not a contact sport, like basketball or even baseball and obviously soccer and football, or if you're in that area, football and American football.
Yes.
Now, since it's not a contact sport, they said that's fine as long as you...
Well, and also not revealing outfits.
Well, and they said you can do it. You have to adhere to the dress code. So she wears, I don't know, there's different types of hijab, and I don't want to, like, speak outside of term, but she does wear a hijab when she races. Yeah. So they're like, that's fine. And so it's really cool because one of the things she's seen is that her being able to do that and being able to race is this acceptance, however slow you want to take a look at it. And I'm not even going to get into it right now.
Yeah.
Of women's rights in Iran, which just recently, I think it's Iran, it might be somewhere else, that women were really given the opportunity to get like the driver's license and things like that.
No, it is Iran.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. And they actually have... one of the highest growing markets of female employees, of women seeking out jobs. I actually read a whole thing because I did a deep dive on her, and then I got into this whole thing with Iran, and I'm watching
Homeland
right now, and so I've just...
Went down the Wikipedia
hole.
It happens. Yeah. We all do it.
Went right down the rabbit hole. And so they have a pretty high percentage of women that work, and like there are female-owned businesses there. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're definitely... on the forefront of that region as far as women's rights.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I'm not saying they're perfect.
No,
but,
we're not.
Yeah,
but
they're definitely
there's
moving
a marked
in the right direction.
Change.
There is. There is. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, she went through all the, you know, correct routes and, like, got approval and
'cause I,
that it's, you know, and they're like, yeah, do it. This is awesome. And they support her.
Yeah. Like, and when I was reading, there were a lot of issues, and I'm sure a lot of people had issues because it's a woman arguing, and, you know, some of the sanctioning bodies wouldn't let her race in certain races because men were like, what? I can't be beaten by a woman, X, Y, and Z. But I appreciate this. I mean, she's had a good career.
She has.
Let's see. She does kind of a rally rally driving and then just racing. So she started rally career in 2000. She was the woman's champion from 2003 to 2004, which I'm made of questions.
Yeah.
Like, who else was racing?
Yeah.
Didn't see that in the articles I read. That's fine. She completed 28 rallies. Out of those 28, she had 7 podiums. 3 first place.
That's 25% podium rate.
I mean, that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all. Also, in her race career, she started in 2004.
A little better than 30% on winning.
Yeah, I mean...
A little better than 10%. Sorry.
She's got a better record than some of our drivers.
Yeah, she does.
Just putting that out there. Just saying. 7 podiums in her race career, 5 first place finishes. She's the national champion in the Peugeot 2006 1600cc category. So,
wow.
Very interesting. She does cite driving in the streets of Tehran as helpful in her driver skills.
Not surprised.
So probably somebody like, yeah, I learned how to drive in Chicago. Yeah. That's why I'm a great driver.
Only the thing is with like...
drive a little like... the
wilder.
The Middle East and those like... People just drive like they don't care to live.
You know, it's absolutely true. So my RA when I was a freshman at Purdue was from Pakistan.
Oh.
And her stories of learning how to drive were hysterical. She was like, nobody uses signals. Nobody, like, gives you the right of way. Like, people just go. There is complete anarchy. She's like, on top of that, there are people everywhere that just walk out. Yeah. She's like... And animals. She's like, dogs, cats, cows, goats, chickens. She's like, there's always animals and people everywhere. Nobody pays any attention. Like, there's no real rules of the road. Like, it's just complete anarchy. And so, yeah, no, I have no doubt that driving to Toronto, no. This is like a Sunday drive for
She's
her.
She's like, just, there's no animals on the track?
I don't have to dodge pedestrians?
What? Can you throw a goat on there just to make me feel at home, please?
Right? Everybody else out here is trained on how to drive? Okay.
What is this?
This is different. Yeah, that's hilarious. She also has a PhD in sports management.
I will say, a lot of Middle Eastern countries, their education is...
They don't play around.
People are coming out with advanced degrees.
Absolutely.
Like, advanced degrees. So, I like to put a quote in there. So, I liked this quote from her. Resistance from men does not bother me. Once I get on the track, I like to use my technical skills... Take control and dominate the other drivers.
Get it.
Get it, girl.
Get it.
Get it, girl.
I like that.
I do, too.
All right. Well, I guess now it's time for... Shit we didn't make up.
Talking about heat. And
talking about heat.
It's hot, too, yeah, today.
Yeah, we were recording the back porch, and we said about an hour ago that we only had about an hour left of the cool temperatures on the porch because it's screened in.
And we were not lying.
Nope, it's been exactly an hour, and I'm sweating.
I'm sweaty.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not as visible as me. I'm like, I'm definitely sweating.
My face doesn't sweat, other parts of the body.
Gotcha. I know, I wish that my face didn't.
Sorry, that sounded inappropriate. So
the hottest Indy 500 on record was not, in fact, this last year.
No, it felt like it.
It felt like we were in the seventh circle of hell.
I mean, there's a moment when we were on the track that I was like, I don't want to lie down here and die because it's too hot, but I want to lie down and die.
I mean, I was probably another 20 minutes on the grid, and I either would have A, passed out, or B, would have just sat somewhere and been like, nope.
You're going to have to cart me off.
You're going
to
have to bring a motorized vehicle here to me. It can be a golf cart, it can be a safety truck, but I'm not walking.
It could be a pace car.
Right, like. I'd have just been like, nope.
I'm done. I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm done. Can't do it anymore. So yeah, this year was not in fact the hottest. It was the third hottest.
It's the third hottest.
So this year was 91 degrees is the official temperature. Although at the track, they said 92, they said 93. Like, there's varying reports, but if we go by the airport temperature, which I think you said is what they...
Usually what the NWS chooses.
Yes, and that's what they've measured everything else off of, so to be fair, we kind of have to go from there. So it may have actually been a little bit hotter.
Oh, I'm 100% sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, if you were to stand there on the track and measure the temperature,
well,
the air temperature is going to be hot regardless because of that track.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So we were just the third hottest this year at 91 degrees. Second hottest was in 1937, 92 degrees.
Yes.
It was 2012 was super hot too. I think it was probably 91. I think it was right in that range because I remember it was also miserable. But the absolute hottest was in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
It was 93 degrees.
Yeah.
Track temperatures are reported to have been 133.
Water is boiling. You could have put a little pot of water on that track, made you some spaghettis.
Fuck water. Your blood is boiling. You are cooking your organs and your brain inside your body.
This is one where they definitely...
That's a cannibal's dream.
They had to have... people had replacement drivers. Like, they had to tap... People tapped out.
I mean, you'd have to.
Tap it out.
People would have heat stroke.
People did have heat stroke.
Yeah, didn't somebody die that year?
So somebody died that year, and when I did the...
From heat exhaustion.
Well, it was heat exhaustion, but his car also blew up, so there was a smoke inhalation issue in the pits. So they can't say it was pure heat exhaustion. His car blew up in the pit. Okay. There was a lot of CO2 and scorching of the lungs. Otherwise, yeah, heat exhaustion. I mean, heat exhaustion is listed, but it's not the primary factor.
Gotcha. I'm sure it played a part.
Oh, 100% played a part. At 133 degrees?
On the track, yeah.
Please.
So,
no, his lungs already were like, I'm out.
You know what? We quit.
We're done. Smoke? We definitely. Nope. Oh, now we're making fun of somebody who died. Straight to hell.
We're not making fun. We're animating his lungs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really good at that.
Yeah, we're not making fun of him.
Lungs a lot of times.
Yeah, right?
It's fine.
Yeah. If you like these facts and you like other facts or just wild accusations and stories, make sure to follow us on social media. You can find everything on our website at www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching Fast Cars Fast Girls in the Facebook search bar, or just going to facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else you can find a link to on our website. We are on Twitter, Instagram. We do have a Snapchat that will be fully active next weekend.
We about to activate our Snapchat again.
Yep, we'll be back live on the Snapchat next weekend. It's race weekend. We'll be there live, so there'll be some good Snapchat stories. You'll definitely want to follow that.
Because we're two separate road tripping.
We are. We're driving two different vehicles, so...
It's going to be fun.
There will be action.
There will be. On both... I think you'll handle the Snap. I'll handle the Insta Live.
Yep.
So...
And we'll both be tweeting.
Yes. Chick might even tweet for us at some point.
Yeah, we might even have a guest tweeter. Who knows?
So if all of a sudden our tweets are just at AJ Foyt, where are you? It's not us.
Chick has taken over.
My father has taken the Twitter over.
Somebody let us know.
Yeah.
Send a DM because he doesn't know how to work right? those.
He won't understand it. We'll see
and
it.
We'll be like, oh, we'll snatch it away. We'll change the password so that he gets kicked out.
Time to change the password.
All right. Well, we tried. You can't be trusted.
Nope. I told him he cannot tweet that, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your dad loves being told what to do.
Yeah.
That always works out real
well. Real well for us as a family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, coming up.
Well, speaking of our social media.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I got so excited. I forgot. So, as of right now, we are at 940 Twitter followers.
I am on the Twitter. 940.
940 Twitter followers. So... 60 more, we reach 1,000. So here's what we're going to do. Once we reach 1,000.
Yes.
And we want your help. We want you to share us at Fast Cars in 317.
Mm-hmm.
Share us with your friends, family, people you don't like, people
take
you don't
know. Take their phone.
Don't care, take their
log
phone.
Log on to their Twitter. It's fine.
Once we get to 1,000 followers, we will do a special live episode where we will answer any question.
Any.
Any question.
Any.
Any. The lawyer is saying any
right.
question.
You know, well.
There will be a few caveats, like, we're not going to do anything that's going to self-incriminate.
Right. Like, first of all, we have a Fifth Amendment, right? So,
yeah.
Anyway. But, any.
But, pretty much, no holds barred, any question. So, and as many as we get. We don't really have a cap on how many questions we're going to do, but we'll do a special live episode. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on Facebook. Obviously, you'll be able to download it later, but we're going to do video with it as well so you can see our faces. If you have any burning questions for the Fast Girls...
You can DM us now. You can DM us now.
Yeah, you can tweet at us, or you can DM us.
And if you DM us and you don't want your name associated, just let us know. Hey, I want to be anonymous. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Otherwise, we will read off who asked the question as well. And yeah, we'll do a special bonus episode. So we'd like to hit that.
Race-related... Nurse-related, lawyer-related, life-related.
Life-related, literally anything. Everything.
It's a big, just have at it, but we need to hit 1,000 first, so.
We gotta hit 1,000, so we got 60 more followers to get, and then...
Then it's gonna happen.
Then question time.
So follow us on Twitter, get your friends and family to follow us on Twitter. We will answer any question you got.
We sure will.
Start sending them our way, too, because we'll compile a Evernote Word document at some point.
Yep. So, it'll be a good time, and since we know each other...
We will call each other out. I'm like, nah, bitch, you lying.
The other one will be like, no, you're full of shit. And you can ask it to just Molly, you can ask it to just me, you can ask it to both of us.
It's fine.
Yeah. Anything and everything.
I mean, if you ask just to one of us, the other one might go ahead and just chime in anyway.
True.
I'll just make up an answer for a nursing question. Yeah. I mean, like, no, that is gonorrhea.
Same for legal. Nope, that's 100% legal. You're fine.
No, that looks like herpes. You should get that checked out. Please don't send us herpes pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That okay, I am going to put a comment on this.
I was about to say, technically, I can't give legal advice, and technically, you can't diagnose somebody over the Twitter.
I'm not allowed to diagnose at all.
Well, that's true. You're not allowed.
Because I'm not an MD. I don't diagnose. I will also not respond to any tweets, DMs, etc. with a body part picture and you asking me to identify something, be it a rash.
I will, but
bug bite,
I'm not the one you want responding.
An open wound. No, I'm not. That's not happening.
Does this look infected? Yeah, you probably should see somebody about that.
I'm not going to do that. Like, I get that enough from my friends and fucking family.
But go ahead and ask other questions.
Everything else, though, totally fine.
Fair game. Don't ask me, should I sue somebody? Because I can't answer that.
Yeah.
You can answer that.
I'll answer that.
Yeah. So, go for it.
You know what? There you go. You answer any
medical questions.
And I'll answer the legal ones.
Perfect. This works for me, actually.
All right. So, yeah. Send the pictures.
I mean, just know I have no clue.
Just know any pictures you send to us will be retweeted.
So, choose wisely.
I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to put that right out there.
All right.
Okay, so taking the shit show on the road again.
Woo! It's been long enough. We need to go on the road.
We do need to go on the road. I'm antsy.
I'm getting a little wanderlust.
Yeah.
Lust. It's set in again.
Yep. So the Kohler Grand Prix.
Hashtag Kohler GP.
There we go.
I appreciate that.
On Road America.
Woo!
Which is a permanent road course in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin.
Which apparently is a very small town.
Yeah.
And so, like, it easily triples in size for the race.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of a fun little...
It is fun.
A little factoid I learned.
I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. It's 55 laps, 222.64 miles long.
Yep. One lap is 4.084 miles, so it's currently the longest one lap. I said that wrong. It's the longest track, really. It's the longest track on the current circuit.
Yeah, it's quite big. There are 14 turns.
And per IndyCar.com, it has fantastic concessions. And as we learned from everybody on Twitter, thank you very much, there's a lot of good food to eat there.
There is, yes. Seriously, like, yeah, no sarcasm there. Honestly.
No, 100%.
Thank you, everybody, who chimed in with all their favorite foods. Because, and the one guy who was like, you know, if you have to ask, you don't go there enough. And you were like, no, that's why we're
asking. That's why we
asked. Like, yeah, no, it's 100% our first time there. And so, like, yeah, no, we're asking because we have not been there.
We went nowhere to go get food.
We plan on going many times in the future. But, like, yeah, we want to do the first trip right.
Yeah.
We don't want to get to the end of the weekend and then find out that our favorite concession stand we only got to have once.
Right. Like, somebody said there are three different mac and cheeses. And I was like, oh.
Sold.
Know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Grilled corn? Let's do this.
We got so many good suggestions.
I was reading them off to my father, and he went on, I quote, well, they have brats, I'm fine. I was like, but...
But did you not hear
other
brisket?
Brats. Okay.
I mean, I get it. I like brats.
I'm not mad at him. And good Midwestern beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm giddy about that.
No fucking IPAs.
Mm.
Jeez. That's what's going to suck about Portland, by the way. Anyway.
Ugh.
So, in 2016, Power came in first, Kanaan was second, Ray Hall third. This was actually that first race at the track in over 10 years, and a kind of a fun, not fun, but interesting kind of caveat from that race. So, the race prior was Texas, and it was actually the Texas race that got rained out and then recontinued.
That's right.
And prior to the rainout, Connor and Joseph got in a pretty bad crash, because at one point, Newgarden's car was... kind of riding the rail, and
it was an intense crash.
So he ended up racing that race with his wrist was injured, and he had like 13 pins in his collarbone.
Yeah,
they showed I was rewatching it, and they showed the x-ray film, and I was like, oh god,
they're still there. They're a permanent part of the museum.
Yeah, that ain't leaving.
No, when you get pins and things like that, yeah, they're a permanent part of the museum now.
They will not be leaving. So that was interesting. 2017 was when we first heard about Robert Wickens.
It was.
Because Aloshin had visa issues.
He did.
I remember that.
Because, Russia. Not everybody trusts the Russians.
Not everybody trusts the Russians. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. Not everybody trusts them. So Aloshin had visa issues, so Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport actually had Wickens slated to kind of step in. Obviously, at the 11th hour, everything worked out, so Aloshin ran it. This was also the year they extended it by 5 laps, and it was Dixon, Newgarden, and Castro Neves. And, of course, Scott came in and ruined the Penske party, because it's Scott.
Because that's what he does.
He's just hashtag Scott things.
Yep, just Dixon things.
Just Dixon things. So
I love Scott Dixon.
I do, too.
Yeah, which, speaking of, just going to go ahead and give everybody a little...
Well, it's not going to be public.
Well, no, but they can look forward to it.
That's true. They can look forward to it.
So we're working with IndyCar Nation. So again, we want to give a shout out to IndyCar Nation. They've been awesome to us. They're continuing to be awesome to us and letting us work with them throughout the entire IndyCar season. So definitely become a member.
Yes.
The champion level is only $35.
You can do
for
it.
For the whole year. It's awesome. You still get tons of stuff. The legend level is $100. But they do have lots of specials throughout the year. Like in May, it was 15% off.
Yeah.
So they always have a discount at Christmas. If you want to do it for next year,
which
maybe
is nice.
You know, because if maybe you're like, okay, I'll just do the 35 this year, and then maybe I'll upgrade. Well, they always have a deal at Christmas.
Yeah,
so,
wait a minute.
You can totally do that. But yeah, make sure you join IndyCar Nation because they just provide lots of really cool experiences and opportunities for race fans.
And we're lucky enough to partner with them. We're going to have a lot of fun experiences for race fans
we
in the upcoming races.
And yeah, and so we'll have things going on at the races. We've got some tentative interviews and things lined up on the IndyCar Nation stage for Road America that we will announce as soon as we get them nailed down.
Yep, we are actually taking over their social media on Friday.
We sure are, so...
That's happening.
Yep, they're letting us do it again. Can you believe that?
I know.
They must have a really good sense of humor.
I feel like they do. That's why I appreciate them.
Yeah, I enjoy it because, you know, we're not everybody's cup of tea, but I think we're pretty damn fun.
I mean, as I told my mom last night, I think I'm hilarious.
I mean, I definitely think I'm hilarious, like... I find myself funnier than anybody else possibly could.
It is what it is. So, yeah.
It is what it is. So, but we do have an interview that's not open to the public, but we will be publishing it.
Yes.
But next Friday, the 22nd, we will be interviewing Scott Dixon. Speaking of just Dixon things, we're going to be interviewing Scott Dixon and Mike Hull.
And we're hoping to do this in May, but some scheduling issues arose, so now we're going to do it at Road America with Scott and Mike, and I'm very excited about it.
I'm very excited. Well, Scott's the reigning champion. He's just coming off a win.
We'll see how he does at Le Mans.
He just had his 43rd win. We'll see how he's going to do at Le Mans today, this weekend. Yeah. So
it's going to be fun.
It's going to be very fun. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I've got a fun story that I've been waiting to talk to Scott about because we have something in common.
I know.
Very random.
Every time we talk about getting this rescheduled, you start in and I was like, nope, I know the story.
I know. It's such a hilarious story though.
So keep an eye on our social media because as soon as we get things nailed down that's available to IndyCar Nation members and whatnot, we will definitely let it out so everybody can know.
Yeah, let you know when and where to be and
it's gonna be fun.
All that good stuff. So
talking about the race, we're gonna make our picks.
Who do you got? So I'm picking Rossi for first.
Look at you, copier.
I didn't even see yours.
I know. I do want to say, like, I'm seeing yours right now, and we did not discuss.
No, yours were not filled out on the sheet.
No, I don't. I write mine separately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I asked. I was like, do you know yours? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, we're just not sharing.
I felt like it would be fun if we didn't share.
Okay.
Top five?
This is where we're going to draw the line on sharing things. You know what? Why don't you get your own tent, bitch?
I got my own car. I'm fine. And a sleeping bag.
All right, so I got Rossi for first, I got Dixon for top five,
yeah,
and I got Power for top 10.
Okay.
First out, none other than, and I love him, but
I know.
This is the only bet that I'm going to make on him for the rest of the season because he's been breaking my heart, so I got to go with Kanaan. I mean, I don't love it, but it seems like a safer bet than putting him in the top 10, I'll tell you that.
Well, wait till I explain why I picked him for first. I picked him too. All right, so first, Rossi, so now we've copied.
Yep.
Top five, I'm going to pick Wickens.
Okay.
As part of the drinking game we will discuss later, he's actually ran this course. It's a road course. He does great on all, but I just feel like he just has a bit more of a strength.
He's got more of an edge on road courses.
So I'm
thinking, it's his comfort zone.
It's his comfort zone, so I'm thinking he's going to do fine. I picked Max Chilton for top 10.
Okay.
And here's why. When I was re-watching, every single time they would be interviewing, this is actually the course that Max loves the most.
Yeah.
Because it's similar to the courses that he grew up in.
Gotcha.
So I'm thinking, you know, they've not been that great as a team. They've had a week off. He was doing some gardening back in the home country.
Yeah, like, across the pond.
Across the pond. He got a little rest in him. This is a good track where I'm like, let's go, Max.
Yeah.
So Sorry. And then I also picked Tony for first out because if you watch the replays, somebody got a little too aggressive a few times, and I think he's going to try it again. And
I think that we're going to continue to see that happen.
I think we are, and I think he's turning around AJ Foyt Racing by hitting walls and getting out of cars every time. It makes me sad because stop saying.
Well, also, he's driving a Chevy now and not a Honda.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way the power is distributed,
yeah,
you know, the Chevy, like that force gets to the car just a little bit quicker, which is what makes them really good on ovals right now. But it could definitely get the fuck away from you on a road course.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you ever tried to take a really sharp turn too fast? It can get away from you.
It can sneak away
in a hurry. And
it's a safe bet.
I think so.
I like that we both chose Rossi for first
and
Kanaan for first out.
That's hilarious. All right, well, on to our drinking game. On to the fun stuff.
On to the good stuff.
All right. So our drinking game. Anytime they discuss the length of the track.
Oh, my God. They're going to discuss it so much.
Ad nauseum.
Yeah.
So that's a drink.
That's a drink.
Go ahead.
Anytime that they discuss how this is the track that last year Robert Wickens did a couple of laps and he was ready to anything like that, take a drink.
And or if they say, like, can you imagine how much better he'd be this year had he actually
run it last year?
Like,
take a drink.
Anything around that theme about Wickens, yeah.
Yeah, take a drink.
That's a drink. Also, if you're at the race live, per usual, all live races, it's the single blue flag. Every time you see a blue flag, you take a drink. The blue flag drinking game.
I will add one more. I didn't write it down because I thought of it in it. If they talk about how this is the, quote, perfect track for IndyCar because it's fast and it's flowy and blah, 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 take a drink. Because I need to stop saying stuff like that anyway.
Yeah.
Lee, looking at you.
Looking at you, Lee Duffy. You know what? Nothing says, like, pinnacle of motorsports, like describing a track as flowy.
Yeah. That's whenever they say, this track is flowy. Every track can't be flowy.
No tracks are flowy. Lace is flowy. An A-line skirt.
Flowy.
Flowy.
A track is not flowy.
It is not flowy.
It, in fact, does not flow.
It can have a good flow to it, but it is not, in fact, flowy.
It does not flow.
No.
Anyway.
All right. Bonus.
Some bonus for those of you who are going to Road America and, like, holler.
Yeah.
You know.
So, in addition to the blue flag game, bonus is if you see us.
Yeah.
You should come up and say hi.
Yeah.
Take a picture with us.
And then we'll all take a drink.
And, yep, take a drink. So if you recognize us, see us, come on up. And if you're wandering around the campsites, we will have our banner up at our campsite. Now, this is not an invitation for anybody to come and be creeps at our campsite.
No.
Because Road America says I can't bring my weapon.
You know what's not a weapon? My stunner.
Not when you call it a stunner, not a taser, which is what it actually is.
Well, names matter. Words matter in my profession.
They do. They do. I'm just like Four-Leaf in Tropic Thunder. I don't know what it's called. I just know the sound it makes when it kills a man or when it takes a man's life. JK, I know what it's called. It's a Glock and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So don't be creeps.
Don't
but,
be that guy.
But yeah, definitely stop by and have a drink with us. We're friendly people.
Yeah.
So we'll have our banner at our campsite. So if you're near us,
say hey.
Take a picture with us. We'll tweet it out. Have a drink. And if you see us with any sort of cheese-centered food, because we love cheese, we talk about it nonstop, any kind of cheese, fried cheese balls, anything that's like doused in liquid melted cheese.
Yes.
Anything along those lines. If you see us and you call us out, everyone must finish their drink.
Yeah.
Us included.
Yeah. Because we need the cheese text.
We need the cheese.
Yeah, so definitely.
So yeah, those are the bonus games.
It's the bonus in-person games.
Sure is. So.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think that's about it.
I think it's time. Nope. We can play this in the background.
Yep.
What do you got for a white flag?
All right, so white flag. I am. Oh well, you know we didn't talk about it. It's a. SBRA, the Brickyard Vintage Weekend.
I could throw that up.
Yep, and that's happening. Well, by the time this airs, it will have already happened.
That's true.
But at IMS, and our illustrious president was driving.
I don't know how he did. He liked our tweet about it, so I believe he's out of the car.
I think he is. I mean, although, Doug's a multitasker.
He could be driving and tweeting and on a conference call at the same time.
Yep, would have
No problem.
I have no doubts that he could do all of that.
He's got a spreadsheet up.
And not just like he could do it adequately, like he could do all three proficiently.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, he's just the best president ever.
Yeah.
I love that man.
I can't help it. He's my favorite president.
I just love him.
I do, too.
But, yeah, so we had the vintage weekend. I'm sad there's only one day this weekend that I have off work, and it's today, and so I won't be able to go.
Yeah.
But you're going on Sunday.
I am going tomorrow. I'm going on Sunday. So
hopefully, well, next year I won't have to work weekends. So
there you go.
So I'll be able to go next year. But, yeah. I'm really damn excited about Road America.
I am, too.
I get off work at 3:30 in the morning on Wednesday, and then I am off until the following Thursday.
That's nice.
Yeah, somebody wanted to trade some days at work, and I was like, oh, I don't have to go back on Tuesday.
Done.
Slap my ass and call me Sally. Yeah, I'll sign up.
Ooh, does that mean you don't have that wonky fourth thing?
Oh, no, I still have the wonky fourth thing.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. No, that's the week after, so, yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
But yeah, so I'm just real excited about Road America. It's our first time there. I'm giddy. Yeah. I've got some new things for our campsite, so we're going to see if those work or if they don't.
We're just a lot of trial and error here.
A lot of trial and error.
That's how we work.
We're going to be so good come Daytona next year.
I know. We're going to have it down to a
second. The Rolex 24, we are going to look like fucking professionals.
We're like, is this your 20th? We're like, no, it's our second.
But now we know how to do it.
Ta-da.
So, what about you? What's your white flag?
Oh, I was actually going to mention Brickyard SVRA because I'm going tomorrow in that heat.
Your dad going?
Yeah, we're going to go together. Nice. We're going to stay for a few. I think we're leaving before the motorcycles.
Yeah.
Because we might go out to dinner where my niece works. But anyway, not important to the story. But I'm excited to go because it's vintage and that's kind of a thing. And then, yeah, I'm ready to get back on the road.
I am too. I'm ready to see a race live.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
It's
not even been that long. But it's also, I mean, so I know we go to the IndyCar GP and the Indy 500. We're there in person. But, like, that's our home track.
Yeah, it's different.
So it's a different feel than when you're out of town.
Right, and people are like, well, you should camp there. Oh, thank you. I can walk.
I like my shower.
Yeah, like air conditioning in a shower or a tent. No,
yeah,
thank you.
Not when it's a free walk. No, thanks.
No, I'm good.
But yeah, it's a different feel when you're like out of town in person.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful track. It's a beautiful location. It's the upper Midwest, so it's going to be a little cooler.
It is. It's going to be pretty nice weather. Oh, and actually, so our campsite will not be hard to find because we're blending campsites.
That's true.
At Indy 500 Pirate.
Yeah, we're camping with the pirate again.
So you'll see his pirate flag and his IMS flag and all that, and then we'll have our stuff and we'll have lots of checkered flags around and our Fast Cars, Fast Girls banner. So our theme is...
Did we decide pirates and booty?
No. Fast Girls and Pirates, booty all around.
That's it. Booty all around.
Booty all around.
Booty all around. I'm just going to yell that randomly.
Yeah.
That should be part of the drinking game. As the weekend goes on... How many times does the word booty get yelled?
Oh, we're going to end up in the hospital.
Yeah, that's how that gets
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, we're going to say booty nonstop.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Also, my white flag is good luck to our IndyCar boys in Le Mans, because we're taping this
hell yeah
right now. Bring us a podium home, guys. And I'm excited.
I'm excited. We'll see you guys next weekend.
Bye.